This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. It's Monday, November 18th, and you are listening to the College Football Daily, a 24/7 sports podcast dedicated to catching you up on and breaking down today's college football news. And doing it all within 15 minutes or fewer. On Mondays in November, Trey Scott and I look ahead to the Tuesday night release of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee's new Top 25. There is going to be some movement in this one, we know for sure. Maybe not necessarily in the top four, maybe in the top four, but definitely on the periphery thereof, with some undefeated teams losing their first game. We had Minnesota and Baylor picking up their first loss of the 2019 season. These teams that probably needed to win out. I know some people, including our own Chris Hummer, thinks Minnesota could potentially, you know, sustain a loss and still get in if they win out. I'm a little more skeptical, but anyway, we can debate it. We can talk about it. And so Trey, how do you think these two losses alter the landscape here?
I think it clears things up for a lot of the major powers, and I think we can sort of start to scratch off the worst-case playoff expansion scenarios where, you know, an undefeated Baylor is staring at an undefeated Ohio State with a one-loss Minnesota, an undefeated Clemson, and, you know, one-loss LSU and an SEC champion Georgia. So I think if you're a playoff committee, you're probably breathing a little sigh of relief here. I think Minnesota would obviously still be alive, given the fact that they have Wisconsin left and they would have Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. And do we think they could win that game? Absolutely not. But at least they're still alive. Baylor, you touched on this yesterday, Connor. This is it. This is it for Baylor. They didn't play anyone of substance in the non-conference slate. And they're most of their wins have been close wins. They surrender a 28-3 lead. 28-3 lead, and that's not going to look good on the committees. For the committee too. I think this opens the door for Oklahoma to make a really big push. I think Oklahoma had an interesting Saturday as far as the playoff is concerned, because a week ago they had barely won against Iowa State at home after surrendering a big lead. Now they do the opposite. They go on the road, they come back. I think the committee is going to appreciate that. And it's very important, I think, that Oklahoma did not blow Baylor out. Because Oklahoma beating number 13 Baylor by 3 points should drop Baylor to what, 16, 17, 15? Certainly not to the 20s or the top out of the top 25 at all. That's going to matter for Oklahoma in a few weeks in the Big 12 title game. However, Kansas State, which was Oklahoma's only loss, was still in the top 25, and they lost to West Virginia. The Wildcats are going to drop. Texas, which was OU's, until Baylor game, OU's best win was 19th. They lost. They're going to drop out of the top 25. The Big 12 will probably welcome Iowa State in. But Oklahoma could be having, again, and we've talked about this, a Big 12 cannibalization problem, where there just are so many similar average, you know, better than average teams with 8-4 records and 7-5 records and 6-6 records that are better than the record shows, but not maybe good enough for Oklahoma to have the juice to jump up above the Pac-12 powers and Georgia in the playoff race.
I totally understand what you're saying about Oklahoma and the margin of victory against Baylor, but man, I bet there are some people out there saying, man, we have achieved full galaxy brain status when we're talking about, it's good for Oklahoma that they didn't beat Baylor by too much, because, like, when they meet again, they'll be higher ranked. You see what I'm saying?
No, I know. And then is when Oklahoma wants to blow whatever number 15 Baylor out in a few weeks. But I do think if Oklahoma had gone into Waco and won by 30, we would have said Baylor's a fraud. Get them out of the top 25. Oklahoma has no good wins. So I do think that was somewhat important for them.
Yeah, we kind of got some validation of that. Baylor isn't totally out of their league with the number 13 ranking that they had.
Not at all. Not at all.
To the week. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back up to the top of the ranking for a second. We had LSU, you know, I think you would say it was a struggle for them from an eye test perspective. They did not look like the number one team in the country and giving up, what was it, 38 points to Ole Miss.
Yeah, so, I mean, 400 yards rushing.
We don't know how close a call it was for the committee to put LSU ahead of Ohio State last week. And, I mean, there's maybe even some reason to think that they were kind of that Chase Young's still uncertain status at that time might have played a role in them moving down. So I wonder if you think there's any chance we see Ohio State move back in front of LSU.
I don't know. I mean, Ohio State had massive game control success against Rutgers, but is 56-21 that great? Like, does that warrant a move up for Ohio State to number one? I'm not saying like Ohio State struggled with Rutgers or anything, and it's, you know, Rutgers is points. Rutgers has had 7 points in the first quarter, 3 in the third, 4 in the, or 7 or 7 in the third, 7 in the fourth. So, you know, those last two touchdowns came against the backups. I don't know if this is the week to move Ohio State back to one after a sloppy Rutgers game, but the Buckeyes do have that opportunity looming next week against Penn State. I would expect LSU to stick at one for now. I think they've just got too many good scalps on the wall.
Clemson, very impressive 52-3 win over Wake Forest, but I think they probably stand pat at number three.
Probably. I think Clemson might be making a case as the most complete team in college football. I do think, and that would have, you know, 52-3, that's just insane. Like, Wake Forest was ranked last week.
Yeah.
I think they would stand pat. I wouldn't. Any other year, this is just far and away the number one team in college football from a playoff rankings perspective. Any other year. And I'm excited for Clemson, and it won't happen in the next few weeks with South Carolina and then the ACC championship game. But I'm excited for to see Clemson test its mettle against a fellow top four team, because I think this team is playing better than they were this time a year ago. And you want to talk about the losses they had on the defensive side of the ball. It simply hasn't mattered. And I know they haven't played many people of note, but they're number two in yards per play allowed on defense, right behind Ohio State. I think we're looking at, and Clemson and Ohio State, those are the two most dominant teams in football.
All right. So last week at four, we had Georgia at four, and then we had Alabama at five. So what's changed for those two teams? Georgia beat Auburn, maybe did not look like, maybe didn't necessarily look like a world beater, but I don't know that there was anything in that performance to think that you would move them out of the top four, especially with Alabama, the team putting heat on them at five, losing, you know, maybe the most important player on their team.
Yeah, you kind of just think Georgia looked like Georgia, right? Like, that's just sort of what you expect when you rank them at number four. They'll stand pat. Let's talk about Alabama. I would be surprised if they stick at five. Would you?
Really?
Yeah, would you?
I could see him doing it, and I can like already picture the outrage on my Twitter timeline over it. You know, what are you talking about? We won. Like, you shouldn't take that into account.
Look, the committee takes into account injuries. And in in Alabama's case, that's not gonna help it. The committee took Kelly Bryant's injury 2 years ago that Clemson lost to Syracuse. They took into account that Kelly Bryant was injured. Clemson was still in the top four when the playoff rankings came out that year, and eventually was the number one team in those playoff rankings, despite the fact that they had lost to a 4-8 Syracuse team because the committee took Kelly Bryant's injury into account. The committee can't not, I don't, I just don't think the committee can look at a two or less Alabama and say they're still number five. And I guess that doesn't really matter until they play Auburn. But I don't think, look, even if Mac Jones comes out in the Iron Bowl and we're a few weeks away from this and throws four touchdowns, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if the committee's going to put Alabama in the playoff. at this point.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We have, I mean, maybe it's the case that given a full game and full preparation and knowing a week going into it and everything for a big game against Auburn that, you know, Mac Jones comes out and has a great game. But it will still just be one game. The really tough thing for Alabama is the fact that odds are they are not going to be playing in the SEC championship game. And that would be a much better venue for them to come in and kind of do like what Cardale Jones did in the Big Ten championship game in 2014. But not having that stage is, I think, really going to prevent them from being able to make a statement of, yes, we don't have Tua, but we're still Alabama and we're still fine. So
that's a great point about Cardale Jones. That's a great point. I mean, he comes in there and beats Wisconsin 59-0. Like that's a tremendous point.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
and they needed that. And they needed that Cardale Jones to not only prove that he was competent and didn't bring Ohio State down, but like they had to be so impressive that week against Wisconsin to jump up into the top four. No, I think even last week there were so many arguments against putting Alabama in the playoff. No, not even the division champion. Who do they beat? And now it's like you don't even have your best player. I would be massively surprised if Alabama's in the college football playoff.
Yep. So if Alabama drops, it will probably be to the benefit of either Oregon or Utah, perhaps both. Oregon and Utah were both impressive winners over matched Pac-12 competition on Saturday. And we're all just kind of hoping that Oregon and Utah hold serve through the Pac-12 title game. And then we kind of finally get to see what these two teams and their finished product form are made of here. So, I mean, if Alabama falls, it will... I mean, are we thinking it will be for one of the Pac-12 teams? Because, boy, that's a whole other Twitter argument in itself.
If Alabama, first of all, if Oklahoma doesn't jump these teams, and
okay, so you think the Sooners?
I don't know. I don't know. The committee really rewarded Minnesota last week for beating Penn State. It was the largest 1 week. What did you say on the show? The largest 1 week.
1 week jump into the top 10.
Into the top 10 that we've seen. So maybe the committee was saying, hey, we like OU. Now we're going to jump them up after the win over number 13 Baylor, at which point the Pac-12 is in massive trouble. But, yeah, I mean, if we just see a line shift and we see Oregon and Utah go to 5 and 6, and it's hard to imagine, like, I just think the committee's ranking the Pac-12 teams in tandem. It's hard to imagine, Connor, like, Oregon and then Alabama and then Utah. If we see that, then I think we're looking at a Pac-12 playoff team, or at least a good shot at one, assuming Georgia will lose to LSU. I don't know. We've said this now 2 weeks in a row where we're about to start learning a lot. And I still think like there's a lot to play out. Like does Oklahoma, how much does Oklahoma move up? And then incrementally as the next few weeks, as Bedlam against top 25 Oklahoma State plays out, you know, how much do they move up after that? How much do they move up after Baylor? Like, does Baylor beat Texas and stay in the top 25? Like, what does Auburn look like as far as Oregon's concerned? Does Nick Saban get on his soapbox and start stumping? Because if there's any coach the committee's going to listen to, it's Nick Saban. So does he, is the narrative from Tuscaloosa this, you know, what do they do in the next few weeks? You know, does he start vying for a spot? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I think a big reason that we have officiating experts on SEC broadcast this season is because it's something that Nick Saban stumped for this offseason. So, like, this man has the power to get some things done. So if Alabama gets left out and Mac Jones comes out and plays really, they set Auburn absolutely on fire and they end up getting left out. And I think for the reasons we laid out, it would be pretty difficult to put them in. But if you're an Alabama person, kind of advancing your self-interest, then I think you at least have the outlines of a pretty compelling argument. And that, I mean, we saw it with Georgia last year trying to get in despite losing the SEC championship game. So it'll be interesting to see. I do think there is still so much to play out, and like what are the SEC scenarios that play out? Do we get two teams? We still have three Big Ten teams in the mix here. So there's just a lot that still needs to happen. I do increasingly think, I mean, maybe I already thought this, but it is becoming clearer to me now that if the Pac-12 or the Big 12 get in, it will be at the expense of, like, if it comes down to one loss conference champion Oklahoma against one loss conference champion Oregon or Utah, it will be one of those two teams, but definitely not both, I think.
What do you
mean? Something really, like, it, the Pac-12 and the Big 12 will not both get in the playoffs.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if one of those two conferences does get into the top four, it will be at the expense of the other one. Like, they won't be knocking out the Big Ten or yeah, maybe like, I mean, the thing with Clemson is it's just so overwhelmingly unlikely that they lose. But like, if they do lose, then they're probably done. So that's the only reason it's worth mentioning. Still some things that need to play out, some things that are like almost sure things that we just need to see clinched. Like LSU still technically hasn't clinched the SEC West. That's kind of weird because it sure feels like they have. As at the end of next week, I think things will be a lot more clearer for those kind of reasons. Some of these possibilities will start to narrow. And I think we've already seen it narrow quite a bit. I mean, I think you can pretty solidly draw the cutoff line at teams still in this conversation at, I mean, what will be number 9 after Minnesota drops out?
Yeah. You know what? And I know we're wrapping up. Like, I think the most compelling argument here, we love to talk about who's in and who's the top four. Whoever's number 4 might just get pounded by number 1.
Are we there now?
Because hold on. The debate, I think the real debate here, as far as how it actually pertains to the college football playoff picture, who's number 2? Like, are LSU and Ohio State, like,
who has to play the number three team instead of who has to play the number four team?
Who has to play the team that any other year would be number 1? That's like, I mean, look, so I respect Oklahoma, I respect Oregon, I respect Utah. I don't think those teams would beat an Ohio State.
So after, and I'm not disagreeing you, not, I'm not disagreeing with you, but are you telling me after all this talk that you and I engaged in about how deep this field of playoff contenders is and how deep this top four would be and just how absolutely perfect and majestic this playoff field would be in the end, that we've still ended up with a situation where the last team in is going to get clobbered and we're going to have another blowout in a college football playoff game?
I think we might be headed that way. The good news is the 2-3 game is going to be electric. That's the good news. No, I don't know. I don't. Who knows? We're not going to have any frauds this year, if that's what you're asking. There's no Michigan State. There's no Notre Dame. Notre Dame. There's no frauds. There's no Ohio State team that's going to lose 31-0 to Clemson. But I think one is going to have a sizable advantage over number 10. Or number 4. It's probably like a 10-point line, if we're being honest. If number 1 is Ohio State, and that's funny, Connor. Like, we've talked about LSU or Ohio State on this podcast. I just think number 1 is going to be Ohio State once the dust settles. So.
All right, well, that is going to do it for today's episode of the College Football Daily. If you appreciate what we're doing, we ask that you do one thing this week to help spread the word about the show. If you need a suggestion of the thing you could do to help us do that, leaving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts would be excellent. For Trey Scott and our producer, Tani Levitt, I'm Connor Tapp, and we'll see you on Tuesday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.